Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living gridlocked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got bunnies.
Hello.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
I am great. Thanks. Hang on one sec here, and we'll...
Hello.
Going? Can you hear me okay? Yeah? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Are you going to, like, run point and ask me some questions, or...?
That's exactly right. Yep. That is exactly correct how it'll go. So,
it'll be a pretty good game, I think.
Cool. So, you're out of Missoula, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to get your TV station right, too. Hang on one second.
You just say it's just ABC Fox, Montana.
ABC Fox, Montana?
Yeah.
That makes it easy.
Yeah.
All right, you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. Here today with from ABC Fox, Montana, sideline reporter for the Montana Grizzlies. Of course, Cal Poly is playing Montana at noon on Saturday at Alex G. Spano Stadium. It's Sean Rainey. How's it going?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for taking a little bit of time with us today. First question, I know Montana last year under Bob Stitt, first year at the helm, things looked pretty exciting towards the beginning of the year. Can you tell me a little bit about how Montana finished the season last year and kind of what the first year grade was for Coach Stitt, you know, kind of coming into the second year at the helm there?
Yeah, of course, you know, they started the season out with a bang, beating the number one North Dakota State, and then the following week, the Cal Poly came in and took one from them. And then they kind of went through a little bit of a lull in the middle of the season. The starting quarterback, Brady Gustin, broke his leg and missed a handful of games. And then even the second string quarterback got hurt, so they're down to their third string guy and struggled a bit there in the beginning, in the middle of the season. And then at the end, Brady Gustin came back. They throttled Eastern Washington and Montana State. They won the home playoff game, and then they lost in the second round of the playoffs to North Dakota State in the Fargo Dome, always a tough place to play. So, I don't know, the book, the first year of Stitt, still, you know, up in the air. They made strides. They played well at times. But, you know, the Grizz, you know, certainly people here in Montana, you know, always expect to go to the playoffs and expect to go far. So, so still kind of up in the air as far as what people think about Coach Stitt, I would say.
Got it. So he's still up in the air. I mean, any other place you'd feel like kind of expectations for a first-year coach to get to the second round of the playoffs and to beat maybe the two of the other toughest teams in the Big Sky would be, you know, maybe a no-brainer successful season.
Yeah.
In Montana, that's not the case, right?
Exactly. And I think it was almost unfair for him the way the season started, you know, beating North Dakota State. Everyone after that first game thought that they would go undefeated, be national title champs, you know, contenders and all that. So people, I think, didn't really temper their expectations after, you know, that first game. You know, obviously there's, you know, a ton of good teams out there. And, you know, they played well. You know, they also, you know, struggled at times. So, I don't know. Like I said, the book is still out, but, you know, certainly things seem to be going in the right direction. It'll just be interesting to see how he does with his recruiting staff and getting all the guys in that he wants to run his system. So got to give him, at least 2-3 years, in my opinion, before you can really form an opinion on Coach Stitt.
For sure. And his system is definitely a unique one. I liken it to if a coach came in and wanted to install, for example, like a triple option, That it takes it takes a little bit of time to kind of transition out of personnel wise whatever you had and to go into what you want to do. How important is Brady Gustafson and his health and that relationship between him and Coach Stitt? Can you tell us a little bit about what that looks like coming in last year and then kind of moving forward this year as well?
Yeah, health wise, you know, Brady's good to go. When he came back last year, he had a little bit of a limp, and you could tell he was kind of favoring that leg a little bit, but now he's, you know, 100%. And him and Coach Stitt, you know, definitely more on the same page. You know, Coach Stitt calls all the plays and hands out all the signals to Brady on the sidelines. And you can tell that they're definitely in sync. And, you know, Brady with a whole, you know, year under this system has certainly helped him. The challenge has been they graduated all three of their wide receivers, two of which got picked up by NFL teams in training camp. Right. So they lost a lot of talent in the wide receiving course. They're playing a lot of redshirt freshmen and sophomores, guys that are making their first career starts at Montana. So, you know, piecing together that a little bit and, you know, they're, you know, week by week getting on the same page. But, you know, Brady definitely has a better understanding. It's now just trying to get in sync with his young receivers.
Absolutely. Here with Sean Rainey from ABC Fox Montana. Hey, Sean, so coming into this game, Montana's 2-0. They beat a team called St. Francis and then went on the road and beat a Northern Iowa team that came in here to Cal Poly either last year or the year before and laid the wood to the Mustangs. Northern Iowa, I think, has played really great against Cal Poly in the past. Tell me about that Northern Iowa game. What was impressive about the way that Montana hung in there? I know Northern Iowa is a traditional powerhouse in the middle of the country there.
Yeah, the Grizz they got off to a fast start. They got a 3-and-out, and then they scored a touchdown. And then they kind of they got up early. And then really it was they were up 21-10, I believe, at half. And they kind of just hung in there. They punted a lot in the second half. They didn't do, I think they only had two or three first downs in the entire second half.
Wow.
But the story of this Grizz team has been the defense. They have been super impressive. If you look at the St. Francis score, you might not think so, but St. Francis had a kick return for a touchdown, and then they had two other kick returns that set them up for scores. So the Grizz defense has been absolutely phenomenal under first-year defensive coordinator Jason Seymour. So that has really been the story of the season so far for the Grizzlies.
Got it. And Montana, of course, you know, coming in last year, Cal Poly knocked them off. The year before, Cal Poly beat them here in San Luis Obispo as well on that back-to-back Montana mm-hmm. State weeks there. So Cal Poly come in with a little bit of a winning streak. Cal Poly's quarterback, Dano Graves, is no stranger to Montana. When he was, I think, a sophomore, played in that Montana game, was a little bit hobbled in that game, if I remember right. It was a close game out there in Montana, and Montana was able to pull it out in the end. And one thing I'm really looking at coming into this week for that Montana defense that you talked about is having a bye week coming into the Cal Poly game, I think is so crucial when you think about, you know, different offenses. And I would say the same thing maybe if Cal Poly had a bye week coming into the Montana game in terms of pace and being able to prepare the right way for such a kind of unique system and a unique thing that they're going against. Montana having a bye week coming into a triple option defense, you know, kind of trying to defend the triple option has got to be a big advantage for them.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't hurt. And that's what the coaches are saying. They're glad that they had an extra week to prepare. And usually you kind of don't like your bye so early in the season, but they thought it came at a perfect time. They had a couple guys banged up as well, so they're hopefully getting healthy. And an extra week to prepare. It's been a fun little rivalry with Cal Poly the last few years. That game you mentioned where Graves played in Missoula, the Grizz had no business winning that game. It took a short block field goal to send it into overtime. That triple option is given Montana fits. It's just been a matchup that has been in Cal Poly's favor, X's and O's wise, the last few years. That's why I'm really curious to see under a new defensive coordinator how exactly the Grizz plan to, you know, attack or try to stop that triple option.
Absolutely. And with both of these teams, I think, you know, they're coming off of kind of good starts, feeling really good about themselves at this point. Really kind of a jumping off point into conference play. Cal Poly, after this game, goes on the road at North Dakota and at Portland State. And so getting a win at home against a quality team like Montana would go a long way to setting them on the right track. Montana, on the other hand, has three home games in a row following this one. They get Southern Utah, Mississippi Valley State in a non-conference game, and then Sac State. This is, you know, probably a really, really big game for them in terms of trying to get a quality win against a team that that has given people some difficult times, especially here in San Luis Obispo. I read today, is the Montana center out for the season? Is that what I read today?
He is. It was unfortunate news. Ben Weyer, he's a senior. He tore his ACL a couple of years ago in his rehab all the way back. And the first game, he re-injured it. And they looked at it and has determined that, you know, he is done for the year. So that's a big loss for the Grizz. He kind of just brought a mean mentality to that offensive line. And he was also, you know, super talented. So backing him up is a guy who used to play tight end. It's one of those things when when you have a new coaching staff come in and it runs a totally different system, those guys that played, you know, tight end and fullback and those kind of things either have to leave or find a new position. So
because there's no such thing anymore, right? There's no such thing as a tight end or a fullback anymore.
I know, right? So they're fullback, they made a defensive tackle, and their tight end, they made a center. And so he'll be the starting center, and the offensive line has actually played pretty well. So it'll be interesting to see. I think Montana will definitely have to play well on the offensive line and try to sustain some drives, because they've had a lot of three and outs so far this season. I think if you do that against Cal Poly, that's going to be asking the defense to be out on the field a long time.
Well, that's right. And, you know, one of the big things for Cal Poly is being able to control the ball, especially in the second half against South Dakota State last week. They actually gave up a lot of time of possession early in the game, had a couple of quick strikes is one of the reasons why. But then late in the game, you know, they got the ball with like 8 or 9 minutes left in tie game. And that's just not where you want to be, I don't think, against Cal Poly's offense when they've already worn you down, when they've already put up, you know, 20 or 30 points on you. And now they got the ball one more time, you know, with a with a little bit of a worn down defensive line ready to you know, try to make them make a mistake. I thought it was interesting, you know, the South Dakota State players after the game, I read a quote that said something like, you know, they did exactly what we practiced against, exactly what we talked about. But we can't replicate that speed in practice, and that's one of the big difficulties that they have. I wonder, you know, as you're close to this team, do you see players on Montana's either practice squad or second or third team offensively being able to run some scout option and give them a good look at what that's going to look like?
There's a thing. They can give them a good look, but when you're going against like a Cal Poly, the biggest thing is, you know, all their offensive linemen, they're going to cut block you and do a whole bunch of things like that. And of course, that's something that you just can't simulate in practice.
Right,
you're not gonna have your offensive linemen cutting down your defensive guys. So, you know, you can prepare for it kind of as much as you can to a point. And it's something that the option, for some reason, I don't know why, no matter what team it's been, whoever runs an option is just really good in Montana over the years has been an issue. Wofford came into Washington Grizzly Stadium on a playoff game, I think in 2007, and they ran, and Grizz were heavily favored to win that game, and they came in and ran the triple option and won, and Cal Poly's given Montana fit. So for whatever reason, the triple option has been a tough thing for Montana to slow down.
Yeah, the triple option has given a lot of people fits. One thing that's a little bit different about Cal Poly's option this year is the ability to throw the ball a little bit. Dano Graves has the California record for, or had it when he graduated, for most touchdown passes in a season for a high school player. He's not a big guy, but he does have a little bit of a touch and found Kyle Lewis in last week's game a couple of times in really big third down plays in the first half. Having that kind of speed of a guy like Lewis does bring a little bit of a different look. Willie Tucker was never right the last couple of years on Cal Poly, series. So I'm interested to see if Kyle Lewis getting to the outside and catching passes is something that Cal Poly tries to do. You know, if he can get the ball in his hands 15 or 20 times a game, along with Pro Throw up the middle and throwing Corey Garcia and Dano getting ahead as well. You know, it's definitely a tough thing to try to key on one guy.
Yeah, and that's something, you know, Coach Smith said today at the press conference. You know, he said that they are different, you know, than when Chris Brown was running the show. They can throw it a little bit. And he said that the Cal Poly receivers made South Dakota State look like an average to bad team. And he's like, and they are not an average to bad team. So he gave a lot of praise to, you know, the passing game of Cal Poly. And it's something that they... that the Grizz certainly know they can do. So that, you know, be another a wrinkle that the Mustangs really haven't had, I think, the last couple times they've faced them.
Yeah, I have kind of a theory is that coming off a multidimensional game like Cal Poly had offensively, I'm always, like, watching out for them trying to, like, get too fancy or do too much and kind of get away from the pro throw up the middle and what that does to a linebacker's eyes and a safety's eyes when the guy goes up the middle. And also, Joe coming off a game like that and coming off the first 2 weeks of having two kids, he was a father for the second time the Friday before the San Diego game. And so, you know, I'm definitely interested to see how he does. If, you know, if he can have his second kid and, you know, live up to the preseason All-American hype that he had, I'm, you know, gosh, hats off. I mean, that's a pretty amazing achievement.
Yeah, seriously, that's impressive.
Sometimes there's a little debate here in San Luis Obispo among, you know, fans that are interested, and the debate kind of goes something like this. It's, you know, man, we have this triple option offense. Oh man, you know, the triple option is just all running. It's, you know, it's not as fun to watch. Why can't we have a team that throws it a little bit more? And I always like to ask, especially, you know, people who see Cal Poly year in and year out and play against them, what's that like, you know, when you're talking about, you know, watching a game and watching a team like Montana, you know, prepare for and then react to playing a triple option offense? You know, what's that kind of, you know, mindset from an opposing, I know you're part of the media, but, you know, from an opposing fan's perspective and also just from the opposing team's perspective, you know, what does that look like from that perspective?
I'll be straight up honest with you. People hate it. they don't like having to go up against it. It's frustrating. It's frustrating when you watch a team kind of run the same play over and over again and their team can't stop it. And, you know, going back to when, you know, I went to school at UM, and I remember going up against, you know, a couple option teams. You don't see it, you know, as much in you know, NFL or anything. And so in college, rooting for the Grizz, it was frustrating. And now, you know, covering it, I'll be on the sidelines. You know, there's a lot of, you know, boosters and fans and even players and stuff. And you could tell it's just, they don't like it. It's frustrating. They think it's, I don't want to say that they think it's gimmicky.
Well,
it's certainly not really gimmicky, but they think that, you know, it allows a team to kind of hang in there when, you know, maybe they wouldn't be able to otherwise, I guess. I don't know how it really happens.
Yeah. You know, if you're for example, like, athletically not quite as good, it's a scheme that allows teams to hang. I mean, it's why Air Force runs it, Army, because you're not going to get maybe the same athletes at Air Force, Army, Navy, Cal Poly, because of academics, for example, you know, in a lot of cases, as you might at other schools. And it's one of the reasons why it's a really good, you know, plan, in my estimation, you know, for Cal Poly to continue it, because, you know, guys, it's hard to get into Cal Poly, even as an athlete. And you know, guys, you know, have a hard time sticking around sometimes if they're not academically inclined and if they're not there for that reason too. So it's definitely, you know, not to say anything about anybody else, but it's definitely a hard place to go to school here in San Luis Obispo too. So I know that you're a Montana grad. You went to school in Montana, but I feel like you might have some California roots, Sean Rainey. Where are you from originally? And I know you're a Chargers fan, right?
Yeah, big Chargers fan. I grew up in a small town of Julian, California.
Yeah.
An hour east of San Diego.
Yeah, up in the mountains.
Up in the mountains.
Yep.
Yep, there's a small little, you know, 4,000-person town up there. Yeah.
I went to
grew up there my entire life.
I went to UC San Diego for undergrad, so I'm relatively familiar with Julian, yeah.
Yeah, go up there and get an apple pie or something.
Exactly, you know? Exactly.
yeah, so I grew up there, and then I just had family friends that
lived in Missoula and knew Missoula. So ended up going there for school and fell in love with it and haven't left since.
So, you know, talking about the Chargers, we know that Cal Poly's very own Nick DeZubnar has made the team for the second straight year. A big special teams contributor, and is always making preseason, you know, tackles lists and so forth. He just, you know, he's always around the ball when he's on the field, you know, in the middle, in terms of being a middle linebacker. One thing that's a little bit different about Cal Poly this year that I'm really, this is the first team that I'm really, I guess they did it against South Dakota State too, but, you know, in a Big Sky matchup against a team that's throwing the ball all over the place, Cal Poly's moved to a 3-4 defense, and Josh Latuyasanoa is back in terms of providing some pressure. And Payam Sadat, who was a defensive assistant at Cal Poly, I think under Rich Ellerson back in the day, is back as a defensive line coach. And I've seen a big difference in terms of their putting pressure on the quarterback. The last couple of years, it's been kind of a bend but don't break defense that Cal Poly's had, and they've really kind of come after quarterbacks who have been throwing in the last, in the last 3 weeks, at least compared to where they were before. I'm interested to see that kind of matchup, whether Gustafson can, you know, read that and get the ball off, and how often, you know, Cal Poly just kind of brings the house, because it seems like they're picking all the right times right now to do that against really good teams. In South Dakota State, it's no slouch, and Montana has a great win against Northern Iowa there too. How do teams usually try to attack, you know, the Grizz defensively? Is Gustafson, you know, having to make a lot of quick throws to avoid pass rushes, or are teams dropping back into coverage more often? Is it maybe a mixed bag?
The teams that have had success, you could just go look at the Cal Poly game from last year, they play a lot of two deep safety. They don't let the big play happen. And then they play, you know, press coverage, and they try to be physical with receivers, trying to disrupt the timing. And so they play up front. They try to bait, you know, the Grizz into running. They will run the ball. They don't really like to hand it off constantly. Excuse me. And so they kind of, you know, play maybe, you know, only six or seven in the box, trying to dare them to run the ball. They play press coverage and two deep safeties, try not to let up a big play. So it will be interesting, because, you know, Cal Poly, it seemed like they had it, you know, the game plan dialed up pretty well last year. So it will be interesting to see how much they deviate from that.
Who adjusts, you know, which ways. Cal Poly's got a little bit, you know, more confidence, I think, in their defensive secondary, even though it didn't really look great in the South Dakota State game. You know, they got some big, a little bit more physical defensive backs, especially at the cornerback position. So it'll be fun to see. Cal Poly is, you know, coming off a road game, and they'll be at home. It's Wow Week here, which means that all the freshmen are moving into the dorms this week. And for sure they'll be out to the soccer game Friday night, and then the noon start on Saturday. Are you going to be out in San Luis Obispo?
I will be. I'll be heading out Friday. We host the Grizzly Sports Report, which is the football coaches show, but so we get a spot on the charter plane, so I fly with the team to every road game.
Okay.
So we'll be coming out Friday, and I'll be there, and I'll be sure to, you know, hit up the, I can't, I'm trying to think of the restaurant's name.
What's that, Firestone?
Firestone, yeah, yeah.
Hit up Firestone.
Yeah,
you might have to go. You might have to go post game this time, right? Because the game's at noon. It'll be mimosas and breakfast burritos, I'm hearing, in the tailgate area. So I know you can't really have the mimosa situation being pregame and so forth. But you know, I'm sure if you flash a couple smiles, at around 9 o'clock, I'm sure there's a few good breakfast burritos getting cooked already there, down on the street between Spanos and Mott Gym on campus there. And we'll look forward to seeing you. And when it comes down to it, you know, what's your thought about this game? How do you feel about it going in? How are you thinking about who's going to have the advantage?
It's a tough one for me. The Grizz have been so good defensively, but I don't know how they're going to match up with Cal Poly. I think that the fullback runs, you know, pro throw and the stuff up the middle is what I'm worried about if I'm a Grizz fan, looking for it as a Grizz perspective. They're a little bit smaller up front. They did bring in a defensive tackle from a junior college that's a bigger guy, but they kind of like to spread it out, and they're really, really fast defensively. So I think anything on the edges, I think they'll be all right. It's the stuff right up the middle that could be tough. I really think this is going to come down to kind of the last possession. I think this is a coin flip game, honestly. It's going to be really fun to watch. I'm excited to see how the Grizz handle the option and to see if offensively. If you look at the Grizz, out of eight quarters so far this year, if you take four of them, they've scored 55 points in four quarters.
Wow.
If you take other quarters, they've scored 6 points in four quarters.
So
it's really been like hit or miss offensively. And so it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see if they can be more consistent and play more than one half offensively. And I think it's going to be just another good game on what's been a long list of good games between these two schools the last few years.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. You know, you talk about tale of two or, you know, hit or miss. You know, it's about kind of getting into the rhythm and keeping the rhythm. And Cal Poly's offense, well, it's a running offense. It's a similar deal, you know, in terms of a rhythm and a pace and a drum beat almost, you know, in terms of marching the ball and you know, running the ball up the middle a number of times, then kicking it outside and options and a little bit of counter, etc. I'm really excited to see Montana play. Every time they come in, you know, they're one of the best traveling fan bases that there are.
Mm-hmm.
One fun thing, and I don't know how fun it is. There's I know last year, I think at Montana, there was like a fire, right? Before the game, there was like a forest fire close by, and it was, you know, mm-hmm. I was worried about being smoke. There's actually a fire that broke out here either yesterday morning or the day before, about 40 miles from the San Luis Obispo. And today there was just this like huge brown cloud that was just over slow all day long. So it'll be something to kind of watch out for. I think probably it'll be you know, burned out by then, but you might want to look it up. It's on Vandenberg Air Force Base, and so you know, you never really know you know, how that's going to look in 4 or 5 days, but something to definitely keep an eye on as we get closer in terms of just air quality in general. Not that it's that big a deal here in San Luis, but you know, it's different than normal potentially.
Interesting. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Cool. Well, Sean Rainey, I really appreciate it. You can find Sean Rainey. Can you give us like your Twitter handle?
Yeah, just at Sean Rainey, SHAUNRAINEY.
There you go. And you can follow him. A really good Big Sky follow. A really good follow if you're a Chargers fan too. And how are the Chargers going to turn it around, Sean?
Tough. If they could just have their guys not get torn ACLs, then they'd be all right. But
intact ACLs are important.
I just want to say something about Nick DeZubnar. He was the Cal Poly representative at the Big Sky meetings that they have every year before the season starts. And I went and got to meet him there. Super smart, super nice guy. You know, just got to hang out with him a little bit there. I was pretty excited when he ended up signing with the Chargers. And, you know, he's fun to watch. Special teams, he's always there. He's a little gritty too. He gets into it with guys and being a lot of special teams. It's kind of fun to watch. So, you know, hopefully he can, you know, crack the starting lineup and get some reps here pretty soon. So,
yeah, his nose is always in it. Sean, I really appreciate it. Good luck this week. Travel safe, and we'll see you Saturday.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in trouble town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue.